First of all, what team news do you have ahead of this one?
Well, I think as we knew, Paul, Daniel Cairns will miss the weekend. We're very hopeful now he'll be fit for Oxford on Tuesday. Just a minor strain, and the kid's back in up at 3/4 pace already. So he'll be. Nardiello is probably at this stage very doubtful rather than hopeful, and but he'll go down nice and early ways to Southend in the morning, and we'll see who he is.
How much of a fear is that with Daniel? Because you asked him to play on, didn't you, when he was feeling it?
Well, he was feeling it through fatigue. He's not any worse than what he was perhaps on Sunday, Monday of last week. And it really is a minor strain, but Daniel is one of those kids that lofty bits, but if he's got the cold, believe me, it's flu, and we're phoning the doctor. Do you know what I mean? And
hey, I've had that this week, don't knock it.
Yeah, you miss it.
Tough for us fellas.
Your missus told me about you. No, in our serious point, and he came to the bench, and you say, Gaffer, I'm suffering a little bit with this. I say, stay on, son, you'll get us a goal. And we've always believed, you know, in the good days, the bad days with Daniel, we've always believed that when he's focused and if a chance comes, he'll stick it in the net, and he did.
How good has he been in recent weeks?
Yeah, he's been marvellous. I think against Chesterfield was his best performance that we've seen Daniel play ever. And that's a big accolade because I've seen him produce so many great days here, so many great goals. He didn't score against Chesterfield, but his performance in the first half was just electric. And people before the game tried to make it the Jack Lester show. It was the Nardiello show when you look back on it. But we need players like Nardiello, and we need our big players coming into form for what is 13 absolutely massive, massive games.
What's been behind the upturn in his form then? Is it purely just down to him, or is it something that you've done with him?
I think a bit of both, to be fair. I think we've probably loved him a lot more than we perhaps did earlier in the season. And you get to know your players. We didn't know Daniel from Billy Bunter when he walks in the door, and it takes you to get to know all kinds. But I think, to be fair to him as well, he's been a lot brighter in training. I've always said it's how you train is how you play, and there was probably Daniel had a feeling at one stage that don't judge me on the training. You know, I tend to be getting through the training, but be getting ready for games. And I think the best managers and coaches in world football and the best players in world football, their practice is what brings out the best in the games, and his practice and his training programmes have been exceptional.
Are you happy now with what you've got going forward? I know we asked you last week about Grimes and you said that's been shelled for now. Does that mean you're not looking for anything?
No, we're always looking for him. We just discussed that. I think the chairman has a great saying here. Listen, if I go and recommend a player or two, there's no doubt that my chairman will say, go and do it. But the one thing they always ask me is, are we getting value for money here, Steve? And our chairman is... Her chairman's a very wealthy guy. There's nobody can say otherwise. But listen, he's a Yorkshireman, and he always says to me, how much? And even if I'm asking for 50 pence for a coffee. But one thing about Tony, he just asks for value for money. And with the boy Grimes, with the loan fee that Rochdale were asking, perfectly fair if you're Keith Hill and you're Rochdale. We understand that. They get the opportunity to set a level. But for me, I just didn't feel in my heart that I'd have been able to say, yes, it's value for money, Chairman, when he asked the question. So the answer in summary is, we're always looking to add to our squad, but we've got a fine dressing room. We've got some real strength and depth on the bench, and we just need to make sure that there's no injuries or nothing's going to cut across as being particularly strong as we approach the final transfer window when you can't do anything.
So will you revisit the Grimes one in the summer?
I think it would depend where we are and what our aspirations are and what we're looking at. I think Ashley Grimes could score goals, and he does score goals in League Two, and I think he could score goals in League One. He's proven goal scoring in League One when a Rochdale side that ultimately got relegated. But there's more than Ashley Grimes out there that we'd like to talk to if we were successful.
And looking back at the other night on balance, were you happy in the end with what you've got?
Listen, you're always happy when you score in the 93rd minute to get a point. Or to get something. We weren't happy with our performance. I think there's a difference, and when you say you're not happy, I was perfectly happy with the amount of effort, the commitment, the passion that went into the performance. And when we went in the dressing room afterwards, Paul, it was as daft as this is me going to sound, it was a great sight. There was a lot of disappointed players in there hanging their heads, and because they knew the performance levels individually and collectively are nowhere they've been and nowhere they need to be to win games in League Two. And you only had to look at the results on Tuesday, the result at Bradford on Wednesday, to realise how tough it is. Sheffield United, it's a home to Leighton Orient, looks a banker. Don't tell Danny Wilson that, don't tell the Blades fans that. It's just so tough to win the games, and we're no different as Millers. It's really tough, and a number of teams in League Two have found that out.
Is there an issue at home?
Well, the issue is such that we get more points at home than the likes of Gillingham and Port Vale. And there's always, we've drawn our first game there. There's always been issues because we've had some poor performances earlier in the season at home. Nobody can say our performance the other night was poor in terms of effort, commitment and passion. In certain times against the likes of Wickham and Barnet and teams like that, and Bristol Rovers perhaps, it was. But nobody can say that the other night. There's no issues at home. We just need to continue to work hard on breaking down team downs that come and set 4-5-1s up and make it difficult to break down. And we talked a few minutes ago about how difficult Bradford City found it to break Dagenham down last night. It was really, really tough. It took them until the 95th minute, the 85th minute, sorry, to break them down. So it's tough.
One criticism I do hear levelled at this team, and to an extent you, is a lack of width. You'll have heard that. And wingers and wide wingers aren't starting games in particular. Just give us your assessment of why that doesn't happen.
Well, it does happen. We played with Wythe the other night. We played with Kieran Agard, wide left, as he did at Bristol Rovers. No one said anything at Bristol Rovers, did they? The boy was magnificent in the second half, wide left at Bristol Rovers, and no one mentioned it. But when you don't win games, where did York City have the strength over Rotherham United the other night? In the central area of the pitch. They had 3v2. Normally, you would expect Arnesen and Noble to take three on and come out and win that battle, despite being a man disadvantaged, but they didn't. And when we went to the three in there to match it up, when we started just to get a little bit of control in the game again, they dropped their striker and went 4-6. It's the first time in English football I see a system of 4-6. But that's what they did. They didn't drag it. Normally, managers or coaches would put one of the wide players in to match it up if you're getting outplayed or outmanoeuvred or outbattled, if you like, in terms of getting on the ball in the middle of the park. So we do play with width. But it doesn't help you when you have the likes of Daniel Cairns has been flying for us, goes out injured. But it wouldn't have made no difference with Daniel Cairns the other night, because in the engine room, you need to win the ball to give it to the wide player. Mm. And we weren't good enough the other night to give it to our wide players.
You mentioned Noble there. Over the last few weeks, he's been superb for you, hasn't he? Is there a better central midfield player than him at the moment in this league?
Well, up until York City, I would have said no. And then in against York City, he was Ming Mong. You know, he was what? He was Ming Mong. He was poor. Is that an English phrase? I don't know. Scottish phrase. I know it's a Glasgow phrase. And he was poor. No, he wasn't poor in terms of effort with David. It wasn't poor in terms of commitment. It wasn't poor in terms of his desire to get on the ball. Because David Noble, I'm sure, he is one of these 29, 30-year-old guys. I think he's 30 now. He goes to bed with a ball. You know, he's obsessed by the game and he's obsessed by passing it. And the minute we are doing functions here and training without a ball, his eyes roll and he goes mad. Because he's, you've got 5 years at Arsenal. It's what you're taught, isn't it? Everything's with the ball. But up until York City, he was just simply in a league of his own.
Is he easier to coach? Are players like that easy to coach?
Sometimes they can be harder. Sometimes they can be harder because they're very disciplined in their own heads that they want to get on the ball and they want to pass it and they want to play. But sometimes the biggest education to David always is that, listen son, first and foremost you need to get the working boots on, you need to get the spin, get in the trenches and fight. And when you win in the battle to get on the ball, which he's been brilliant at in the last few weeks, when he does that, oh, what a player he is. He gets on the ball, there's not a better talented midfield player around. He's got everything in his repertoire. But we educate him every day that for him to be able to get half a yard and create that half a yard, he has to walk smarter than the rest.
And you've had a good look at Claude now in a Miller's shirt for the last few weeks. Given you everything that you thought he would, certainly the fans seem to think so.
Well, he was ridiculed after his debut, wasn't he? And I was ridiculed. But I was ridiculed after Craig Morgan's debut, and he was ridiculed at Port Vale. We'll not forget that day either. But Claude is a big guy who gives you everything that says on the tin. In which knowing the 10 don't rely on him passing it. Don't rely on him wanting to come out central defence and be a player. He's not that type. He's not a player. And but in the words of Neil Warnock when I was first trying to sign Claude, if you've got him defending as a man and heading and kicking it and playing with passion, he'll win you promotions and he'll get you points. And if you think he thinks he's a soccer player, then leave him at home.
He's very unique, isn't he? In the way that he plays the game, he's very unorthodox. You know, when he jumps for a header, his arms are everywhere, his legs are everywhere, he tries to take everything out. But you're right, I think when he tries to play, that's perhaps where he can come unstuck, can't he?
Well, he doesn't come unstuck, he's just rubbish. he's not a ball player, is he? But I'll tell you what, I'd want him in my team. Yeah. I'd want him in my team in every game we play. if he's focused and if he's ready. And he'll, listen, he'll have, like every centre-back, like every goalkeeper, every, he'll have bad days and we'll shake our head and we'll move on. But, you know, my previous club wouldn't have got the promotion without him. He was an absolute rock in a man mountain. And, you know, we've seen that at Bristol Rovers. I've never seen a central defender win as many headers. And if I'm being brutally honest, I look at our local rivals and I look at the likes of Chesterfield, who have got the likes of Richards and Leicester, who are two top strikers. And they just went unsure, were they? And that's credit, not just to Claude Davis, but credit to Johnny Mullins, who's been, has to be said, has been excellent beside him.
And it's going to take something pretty drastic, isn't it, now, for them to lose their place, with Morgan obviously fit again now, in order for him to get a look in, isn't it?
Well, Morgan's a top player, isn't he? I think Morgan's the best of them all. And,
so how hard is it not to play him?
Well, he's not. He's fit. He's had another 70 minutes in the reserves, but I have to pick a team based on is he 100% ready for the biggest. We have to approach now, Paul, this next 13 games, that each and every one of them is our biggest game ever. I'm not even thinking about Oxford. I'll think about Oxford at 5:20 or 5:30, and our team coach leaves Southend. I wouldn't think about in between my staff or the way Will was in scouting them and looking at them and reporting on them, etc. But so it really has to be picking your best team at the minute. And at the minute, Claude Davis and Johnny Mullins should take those shots.
Is it difficult at a place like this to keep everybody happy? Because you've got some strength in depth, quality players who are on the bench, and we hear about the managers at the top clubs and the challenges that they face in trying to keep harmony in a dressing room. Is that a challenge in any way for you?
I think if you work hard on managing them, I don't think you have that issue. I think when you look at certain individual players, if they realise that 100% in their minds and their hearts that performances pick the team, then I think they live with the team. I think as long as they believe that and they trust the manager, I don't think there's any players at Rotherham United who wouldn't say that the gaffer here picks the team. 100% honest. Listen, I might get the team wrong. I might be a numpty as far as I'm concerned at different times. I think we know if we've got 9,000 fans, we'll probably get 8,000 would have different teams to me. Danny Wilson, if they have 17,000, has 16,000 out of different teams. I think we live with that as managers. But the one thing I'll always do is pick the team that I really, really do believe can get us the result, because I want more than what the fans want. I want to win games and I want promotion more than they do.
I know you say next stop Southend, it's a test, this, isn't it? It's a difficult place to go, isn't it? Roots Hall, very tight to the pitch. Not particularly glamorous surroundings either. How do you see this?
Real tough, to be honest. I went down and seen them, 2 weeks ago when they beat Leighton Orient to qualify for Wembley. I think Leighton Orient were unfortunate on the night, but what Southend United had was first and foremost good players, good manager, very well organised, disciplined. They've lost the other night at Barnet. They'll be hurting from that one. It's a bit of a derby, if you like, and so they'll be waiting and ready for us.
Mm. What are your memories of the game here against them?
3-0 could have been 8. You know, they wanted to win more than the Millers on that day, and if you want to win more, your ability gets a chance to come out. They've got some exceptional players for the level. You know, it's. It's quite interesting. If I go back to that particular day and listening to your programme, I think every Millers fan who rang in said, Southend would be in the top two.
And they've dropped off, haven't they?
It goes back to what I've said. It's not about me saying other than how difficult it is to win games. I heard a number of spectators say it when Gillingham beat us, that's them promoted. And I heard people say when Port Vale come and beat us, that's them promoted. Both are within distance of the pack now, aren't they? Because they both don't look after themselves in the next weekend, this weekend coming. They're in the pack.
What's a realistic return from the next two away games?
6, because we're going to try and win both games. We've just talked about it. Do you say you would rather go unbeaten, and that might mean you take a point to each, or would you rather take a win and a loss? Mm. I think realistically, if we said we were driving out of Oxford, and if I can think that far ahead and we'd 4 points return from 2 games, we'd be highly delighted.
Yeah. One off beam here, Danny Schofield is here, but he's someone we just don't see. Just give us an update as to what the situation is with him.
No, there is no situation. He's not in the first team squad.
Right. and you won't say any more than that.
No, no, he's, listen, with Dan, he's been made available. We went to Accrington and he played at Accrington and he's been available ever since. But every club's aware of that. We have circulars from them, they have circulars from us. I've not had one phone call to take him.
Right. No future in your plans. Is that fair to assume?
Well, we've got other players. You know, I've always judged it on players, and when I look at who we've got, and he's not going to play in that team.